It's an honor to preach God's word. Now, some of you has heard me preach. Amen. Some of you don't even know who I am. So, my name is Ron Wetstein. It's my wife Linda down here, the better half. Amen. A wife is necessary in the ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. I wouldn't be in the ministry if it weren't for my wife. That's for sure. She's everything to me, and I praise the Lord for her. And my dear friends, I can't believe Carl, you're here tonight. I picked up his wife and brought her to church, but I didn't know Carl was coming. Carl's a dear friend. I got a lot of good friends. Tom McConkie texted his boys today, said, "Brother Wetstein's preaching tonight in the church." And John, everybody know John? John said, "Is he cooking breakfast first?" Now, you got to understand what he's saying. I had the bus ministry. I run the bus ministry for at least 15 years. And every Saturday morning, I cook breakfast. And then we'd have bus meeting, preach. Every Saturday, we did that. And so I thought that was kind of funny. As Tom would say, that his boys, all his boys sit under that ministry. And Joey got saved under my preaching. And so I appreciate the McConkies. Know a lot of folks in here, except Tony. I don't know Tony. There's just something about Tony I don't want to know. I mean, that's just... Tony likes to pick on me, but he don't like to be picked at. You know, you ever met people like that? Huh? Nah, he's got a good sense of humor. Amen. So anyway, God's honored me to preach, and I think when you preach it, it's ordered by God. It's from God. Kelly, I've known Kelly ever since she's been a baby, and her father and I are great friends in New Jersey. And but it's an honor to preach the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I gave my life and surrendered my life. I didn't get saved until I was 36 years old. And under Pastor Moore, New Jersey, South Jersey, under his preaching and teaching, both my wife and I got saved and was called into full-time ministry after 10 years. So I was 46, got saved at 36, 46 in Hollis Anderson College with four kids. And I graduated from Liberty University in 1980, and but I thought I needed to go to Hollis Anderson College, and so we did. We packed up, sold the house, and by faith we sold the house. Believe me, I stuck a little sign out front behind the mailbox so nobody would see it, and a Christmas tree like setting, and boy, the next day somebody knocked on my door and said, "Man, we've been wanting this house forever, and we tickled the deck. Your house is for sale." And so I figured if the Lord was in this thing, so anyway, we went to Hollis Anderson College, and we've been in full-time ministry for 30 years. It's a privilege and honor to be so. Tonight, I want to speak on something special to my heart, because I believe everything is run by faith. I think this ministry is run by faith. Every ministry is run by faith, whether you're in a bus ministry, I don't care what you do. Everything is run by faith, and I praise the Lord because the Word of God is not the only the incorruptible seed, amen, as it says in the Bible. It's also the bread of life that we need. We need to be nourished on the bread of life and get our strength from the Word of God. But not only that, but it's also the power to sanctify. Set new believers, because Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. My word is true." And so it's power to sanctify us, get us saved, set us apart for Jesus, feed us, amen, our daily bread. And then, but most important to me, one of the most important parts of the Word of God is draws faith. You get faith from it. And the Bible says the crucified man lives by faith. He says that, and he says the justified man lives by faith. And so we have to have faith to live by, amen, or we're going to do anything in our life. So tonight I just want to speak, if I put my glasses on, we will, on what faith believes. You know, it says in Psalm 116:10, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." You know, the faith creates a desire to speak the Word of God. You know, because you know what the Word of God is going to accomplish when you do speak the Word of God. Like I said, it's an incorruptible seed. Amen. It's a bread of life. It's a sanctifying power, and it produces faith. And 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, "We have the same Spirit according as is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Amen. I'm speaking up here through faith, the power of faith. I have no power, but the faith that I have contained through the years has the power, amen, to preach. I trust in the Lord, amen, to do a work. Trust in the Holy Spirit to do a work. And so I speak through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, amen, because I have faith in God that God will do something, amen, for his glory. And so I speak, amen. My subject this evening, isn't it? My subject this evening is what we believe. There's no question about in whom we believe. Amen. We believe in Jesus. Amen. But what do we believe? What do we believe? I have been asked, what do you believe? In 2001, I had heart problems and not a cold heart, but a few stopped up veins. I had three stoppage. It's in my veins. Amen. I had to have three stents put in. And I was in York Hospital, and two doctors walked into my room. I didn't know either one of them. But evidently, one of them knew me. And they stood right at the foot of my bed. And the doctor spoke up. One of them spoke up. He says, I want to know what you believe in. Can you imagine that? I mean, they came to me. I didn't go to them. I didn't even know. And so I had an opportunity, amen. What did I believe? So I gave him the gospel, what I believed. I believed in Jesus Christ, amen. So I was excited about that, and I told him what I believed. And the other doctor that came in with him, he's nodding his head. Everything I said, he's nodding his head, you know. Evidently, he was saved. He must have knew I was a pastor or something. And he brought this other one in here just to hear what I believe and who I got my faith in. And I gave him the gospel. Whether he got saved, I don't know. I don't know who gets saved and who don't get saved, but I had the wonderful opportunity to give the gospel, amen. Your believing is the most important thing that can happen to you, what you believe in. It's the most important thing. There's nothing any more important than your faith. Amen. Hey, listen, if you have faith of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. That's pretty powerful faith, isn't it? Huh? That is, isn't it? And so, you know, because of our belief system, amen, it can affect our behavior. It can affect your behavior, what you believe in. It's your faith, amen, that controls your behavior. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe he's the Lord? Amen. If you believe these things, then it's going to affect your behavior. Do you believe what the Bible says when it says, you know, get 10% of your wages? Amen. Does that affect your behavior? You know, I've been tithing for years. It affects my behavior. I tithe. And brother, I'm glad I do. Yes, sir. Well, I had five kids. It didn't make any difference. We tithe. Your belief system. Your belief system is what really you are as a Christian. You know, this place could be packed out tonight if they believed that you're supposed to assemble yourself together. Amen. If they had that kind of faith, why aren't they here? Because they don't have that kind of faith. They don't believe that. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not being... Preacher always kinds of apologize for what he says. I don't apologize. It's the word of God. Amen. I really don't. I don't because I believe it. I believe it. I believe the power of faith. Amen. The most important thing that can happen is to come to a place where everyone really believes and his belief affects the way he lives. That's the most important thing about your life. If you live a Christian life and you try to be like a Christian, like Christ-like, you do that because you believe what the Bible tells us to believe. Amen? And we accept that, and we live by it. Now, we're not perfect. We're not sinless. Amen? But we try to live according to the Word of God because we believe what the Word of God says. Is that not true? Amen? You can say amen. I like amens. Amen? I usually amen myself. My wife says my favorite word is amen. But it does affect your faith. A quote is like this, amen. You are what you believe. Well, that's true. You know, you can believe one thing. You can be one thing in here and go out and go to work and be something else. But if you believe the same thing in here, in your heart, and you have faith, you'll be different out in the world. You'll be different out in the world. Because you live in what you believe. And your favor is what you believe. Your behavior is. Amen? And your actions. I have a grandson in New Jersey. And a granddaughter. And grandson, I got a chance to talk to him, witness to him, at a yard sale. Well, I guess it must have worked on him. And he wanted to get saved. And his mother said to him, well, I can show you how to be saved. He said, oh, no, I'm waiting for Grandpa to come. He's going to trust Grandpa, amen? And I praise God, he got saved. My granddaughter, 22 years old, got saved, I guess, a year ago. She got saved, amen? So you are what you believe in. People will look at you. And what they're really not looking at you, they're looking at your faith. You know? Does what he say match what he does? You know, that's all faith. That's all by faith. So it's not what your church believes. That won't affect your life, amen? It's what you believe personally. Your church, I know what your church believes, amen? But people get out of these pews, walk out those doors, and they're a different person altogether. They're all complete, because they really didn't believe what the church really believes. They don't even believe what the Bible believes, what it speaks of, amen? And so they live through the flesh. It's sad, amen? What changes people's lives, amen, and what they believe? What increases your faith in what you believe? A walk of faith is a walk of beliefs. Did you hear what I said? A walk of faith is a walk of beliefs. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as somebody that just didn't preach the gospel, but lived the gospel. Amen? It affects everybody. It affects everybody. I had another grandson. We used to go to Thanksgiving over in New Jersey. And, you know, they know I'm a preacher. They know how I live. And we got there, and this boy's probably 20-some years old. And he comes to me. Here's the whole family gathered together, well, 50 people, I guess. And he comes to me and says, Uncle Ron, can you show me how to be saved and born again? I took him out in my car and took him aside and led him to Christ. Amen. Because he believed what I believed. He believed in me because of my faith in the Bible, my faith in Christ. It's a joy, folks. When you start leading your grandchildren to the Lord, that's a joy. I don't know about you. We got 15 of them. I got a long ways to go yet. Amen. We got 15 of them, two greats. And by the way, if you want to talk to my wife, just bring up grandchildren. Amen. You'll get her ear just like that. Believe me, man. She's all about grandchildren. Amen. The more you believe in God, the more your faith will increase. The more you believe this word, the more your faith will increase. And the more powerful your faith will be. I believe God uses churches just not because the pastor has faith, but the pews have faith. And they have faith to believe in God. They have faith that they believe that God can do all things. They do. They trust God. Amen. They have that believing faith. Well, he needs that. You know, Josh had hold up hands, amen, arms, the battle. He needs people with faith holding up his arms, amen. That comes from the pew and the assistant pastors and the workers and leadership here. You need faith. If you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have to have faith to do it. It is not money. It's not your good looks, amen. It's not your pretty buildings. They're putting up buildings up there. Those buildings won't draw anybody, but your faith will draw a whole bunch of people. Amen? So it's not those things, amen? It's your faith in God, your faith believing that God can do, amen, what he wants to do. Listen, faith is important because it affects everybody. In Mark 9:23, a man came to Jesus bringing his lunatic, demon-possessed son. You know the story, right? Amen? Saying, I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cast him out, verse 18 of chapter 9. What was the disciples' problems? They didn't believe, amen, they didn't believe it was possible for God to do that. They didn't believe in the power of God. They really didn't believe who Jesus is. They didn't. If they believed that Jesus was God, then they would believe, amen, God can do all things. And here's this poor dad, he needs help, and he goes to the disciples. The disciples didn't have any faith. That's what I'm saying here, amen? This church needs people with faith. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. Amen. You need to ask God to give you more faith as you read and study the Word of God. You need to forsake your sins. Amen. And get a hold of God. And then let God get a hold of this church. And you want to see this church go somewhere. You'll see it go somewhere when the people in the pews have faith. Amen. I thank God for the pastor's faith. But he needs your faith too. Amen. They didn't think it was possible for God to do that. Isn't that something? What was the disciples' problem? They didn't believe that nothing was impossible with God. They were doubting God. They were doubting Jesus, his power. They didn't have any faith. See, it's your faith that produces actions. It's your faith that it moves God. You want to move God, your faith can move God in heaven to do great things on earth. That's your faith does that. Not this building. Your faith. Your faith moves God to do something. Faith and prayer moves God to do things on earth. Puts heaven in the actions here on earth. Amen. Moves God to do things. You want people to get saved? Have faith that God can save them. Amen. And pray that God would save them. That moves God. Then be patient. Wait on the Lord. He'll show you mighty things down the bottom of. Amen. If you have the faith. Now, if you don't have faith, you're not going to get much done for God. Amen. They thought that the demon was more powerful than Jesus. Think about that. They thought the demons were more powerful than Jesus. That's sad. They lacked, amen. They lacked belief. They had unbelief. Unbelief is a terrible thing for a church to have. It's a terrible thing, unbelief. You don't believe it, read the story of Israel, amen, going into the promised land. They couldn't go in because of unbelief. And millions died in the wilderness because they couldn't believe God could do what he said he was going to do. What do you believe God can do? What do you think God's capable of doing? You think God's capable of doing a great work here? You're not going to draw them in by the buildings. You're going to draw them in by your faith, amen? I thank God for the buildings, because when you draw them in by your faith, you need the buildings to put them in. You understand what I'm saying? And God, through your faith, through the pastor's faith, he may put the buildings up because he knows people are going to draw them in because their faith is going to increase in God. All depends on our belief. The lack of power is not in him who is willing to do. The lack of power is in who believes he can do. He can do. God's willing to do anything. Nothing's impossible with me. You cast all your cares upon me. I care for you. Amen. There's nothing impossible with God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Do you believe that? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you have faith in him? How about to save your family, your loved ones? I fancy. My dad, I got saved. My sister led her to Christ. We got in the car and went down to my dad's house. Well, my mom got upset with me because I come down with the gospel. You're making dad awful nervous. You know what I mean? You're making him awful nervous. So I knew that bringing the gospel to him, I wasn't going to do any good, but I put my faith in God that God would do something I could not do. And God did. My dad had a heart attack. And he had a bad back. All one time it happened. They put him in the hospital, but died in him. They set him up, and he should have never done it. And the pain went to his head, amen. And he screamed out for God. He didn't scream out for me. He didn't scream out for my brothers, my wife, my mother. He screamed out for God to help him. And my dad got saved. Amen. Sometimes God's got to do a lot of things to get somebody's attention. But if you have faith that God can do that, God will do that. He'll do that. A lack of power is not in him who is willing to do. The lack of power is in believing that he can do. Our problem is our faith. We don't believe it. I don't know how you can read the Bible and not believe what God can do and what God can't do. It's unbelievable. The things that God, if he can make a donkey talk, amen. He can make a donkey talk. He can get a raven to feed a prophet. He can open the Red Sea. Amen. He can stop the sun. He can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. Do we believe that? No, we don't believe it. We might shake our head and the brain might rattle, but we don't really believe it, do we? Or do we? Do we really believe it? I like to think that we can believe it. Amen. That we can produce such a faith, amen, that will do those things. Disciples lack power because they lack faith in the one who is able to do, and nothing was done. Nothing was done. Now, I want to say something here. The Father had faith in the disciples, but the disciples didn't have faith in God. Now, you can hang around. You can hang around. You can hang around with Jesus. You can come to Sunday school. You can come to church. You can hang around. But let me ask you something. Do you have power in the one that we're talking about, we're preaching about? Now, the disciples was around Jesus. They saw all kinds of things. He fed 5,000, amen. And then he tells them to get in the boat and they're going across the sea. And then they forgot their lunch and they're worried to death about eating. He says, hey, did you forget what I just did over there? They forgot that fast. They didn't have faith that he could, amen, create a lunch for them. Yeah, you can be around it and not get it. But he kept working on them, didn't he? He kept working on them, amen? It's a sad day when the church lacks faith in God because of the lack of believing in God. We must believe that he is a rewarder of those who believe in him, amen? Now we can quote that verse, we can read that verse, but if we don't believe that verse, what good's the verse? He that comes to God must believe that he what? He is. And what's he going to do if you believe that he is? He's going to reward you, right? That's pretty simple to me, but brother, we don't get it. No, we can hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. Falls on deaf ears. It produces no faith. Amen. And when we need it, we don't have it. And we don't get rewarded for it because we lack faith. Amen. We must believe, amen, that he is a rewarder. Those who are the greatest truth, amen, and Mark, the testimony there, all the things that were possible in him to believe it. Let me ask you something. Do you believe everything's possible? I'm asking you personally. You don't have to answer. God already knows if you believe, amen, or you don't. Now, the disciples lacked faith because of the Father and the Son, amen, was not delivered. They lacked faith. If they had faith that God was who he said he was, they could have cast out that demon. You know, the saddest part to me is that Father got no help at all. He got no help at all. The Son didn't get any help. And why didn't he get any help? Because the disciples didn't have faith. They was around Jesus. They heard Jesus. They saw Jesus. But they didn't have faith in Jesus. And that poor father and that son was in the same condition before the camp. Now look, people's going to come to this church, amen, in sad condition. Looking for help. And if they don't get it here, where are they going to get it at? Down to Jehovah's Witness Church down here? Mormon Church? If they don't get it here, where are they going to get it at? We need a church who has faith in God and believes God and sees miracles work. Amen? That's the kind of church. It affects others. A lack of faith always affects others. That father and son, they were hurt, man. But still, a lack of faith, their cry should have been, help my unbelief. That's what the disciples should have been saying. Help my unbelief. Here we had an opportunity. Here we had an opportunity to do a great work for God. And we didn't have the faith to do it. It comes to a humble experience when you admit that you don't have the faith that you need to do what God wants you to do. Most people won't work for God because they don't have the faith in God that God can give them the power to do it. Man, you're going to go to work for God, you got to believe God is going to give you the power to do it. He'll meet all your needs. He'll give you all your strength. What wouldn't God give you if you were serving Him? Everything you knew. You know, God's a great performer. Philippians 1:6 says He'll perform. I don't know about you, amen, but I want to see God perform. He's performed in my life. I praise God. Amen. I'm up here tonight. He's performing, not me. Amen. God gave me an opportunity. I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do in this church, but I'm willing to do anything. I'll cut the grass if they want me to. I don't know what you want me to do. He said, I want you to preach. Well, here I am. Amen. He can perform. He'll give me the power to perform. He'll give me the message to perform. This is not the message I wanted to preach, but this is the message He wanted me to preach. I see you people on the edge of great things. Not numbers, not because the numbers are a great thing, but the more numbers, the more souls. And the more souls, the more influence on other souls. Amen? And reach them on. I talk to people, well, I want to belong to a little church. Well, they're going to be out of place in heaven. Huh? I mean, they're going to feel really bad when they get to heaven. All these people are there. I don't want to come here. Where are you going to go? Purgatory? Huh? Listen. God wants you to have a big church. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the people. He'll give you the finances. He'll give you everything you need to have a big church. Amen? It seemed to me, if I read the book of Acts right, it went from 125, amen, to 3,000, to 5,000. Amen. God just increased. Multitudes of people were saved. Believing in God, amen. Now, I'm not going to be long-winded. I don't think. He's not here anyway. You won't tell him how long I was. I like, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11, just for a second. I don't know how much time I got here. It says 10 after. He said it was 6. Yeah, he said it was fast. He said it was fast. this is a great chapter. Amen, faith. Faith is the substance, chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Let me see. Faith is what? Without faith, you have no what? You get that? Faith is the substance. But if you don't have any faith, you don't have the substance. And you can't get the substance without the faith. I like substance. My wife, she loves the shop. I don't love the shop. I just love to go what I want. I want to get the substance, amen. But she likes to go shop. And so she's not really after substance. I don't know. Why do women shop for? What do they find pleasure in? They're laughing. Some of you are laughing. Oh, you're really small. But us men, I need an amen out of you. We like to go get the substance, amen. Amen. Now, in spirituality, we need to have the faith, amen. Let's see, where do I want to go here? I got to watch myself here. I love the Word of God, don't you? Don't you love the Word of God and the power of God's Word? I gotta jump off for something, but I want to get to something here. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. In chapter 5. The only way we're going to get to substance, folks, is to believe in God. Amen. He that comes to God must believe that he's a rewarder. Your faith will get the substance for you. And I like that. I like to be rewarded. Amen. So, in chapter 5, verse 16, it says, Paul is saying this, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know him no more. The question could be asked, what think thee of Christ? It says in this, wherefore, henceforth, know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Paul is saying, my whole opinion of Christ has changed. Paul is saying, I knew Christ when I was in the flesh. To me, he was an imposter. He knew Christ from, I don't know if he had any personal contact with Christ, but he knew Christ because he persecuted Christ. By the way, you get persecuted, you're not getting persecuted, Christ is getting persecuted. And he knew Christ through persecution. But it says, I know him no more after the flesh. I know him in the spirit. What a difference. He is God. In the flesh, he was an imposter. I know him now in the spirit. Amen. He's born again. He said, I know him as my Savior. I know him as God. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. I'm afraid a lot of Christians know Christ in the flesh. They come to church, they hear about Christ, but they don't know him in the written word. They don't know who he really is. They hear it, but they don't know it. If they did know it, they have a different view of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Now you got to listen to this, all right? He knew him in the spirit now. He knew he was God. He wasn't an imposter. He knew he was his Savior, amen? Praise the Lord. He knew him as his Lord. What a different view of Christ when you know him in the spirit and you know him in the flesh. Why the change? Well, verse 17 tells why. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I'm telling you, when you get saved, now I didn't know Christ for 36 years. I really didn't. I wasn't brought up in church. I didn't go to Sunday school in church. Amen. I had no idea. Didn't understand the Bible. Tried to read it a couple times. I just had no concept of what the Bible was saying. I didn't know Christ at all in the flesh, but I knew who he was because we celebrated Christmas. You know, we knew about Easter. But when I got born again, when I got born again, I had a whole different view of Christ. Amen? How do you view him? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Do you love him? Do you keep his commandments? Amen? Do you have, amen, a desire to serve him? This all came about my life when I come to know Christ and who he was. But I had to be born again, amen. My whole view of him changed. To tell people about him, your faith increases, amen. You start serving him, start loving him, amen. It's a whole different view. How do you view Christ? That he is God? You must believe that he is. Amen. He is. I want to speak on one other word. Turn with me. Knowing Christ in the spirit. It's a lot different knowing Christ. You can come to church and know Christ in the flesh. You wonder why 90% of the people don't do anything for Christ. It sits in pews. And most of them don't come back Sunday night. Most of them don't come back Wednesday night. Do they really know Christ in the Spirit? Is he really their Lord? They don't serve him, don't have a desire to serve him. They come do their duty. But let me tell you something. You get a relationship with Christ, a spiritual relationship with Christ. When the Holy Spirit moves in, there's a complete change in your life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away and all things become new. You love him, amen. You want to serve him. He's the Lord. You want to keep his commandments. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5:8, if you would. I'll be done with this. Am I too long, Pastor? Just tell me I am. I'll quit. I can do that. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, though. I'm only kidding. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may. Look. Tells us to be sober. This is a commandment to be sober. What does it mean to be sober? It means to be free from whatsoever it is that is apt to intoxicate your mind. Whatever intoxicates your mind. It's comparable to a drunk. When he's not sober, his mind is intoxicated. All right? It affects his whole life. For instance, verse 7, it says to cast all your cares upon him. Cares of this world will intoxicate your mind. You can't think right. You can't think spiritually. Amen. Like alcohol, your mind can become spiritually intoxicated. Do you know, Pastor, there's a lot of drunks come in this church every day, every week. They're intoxicated with the world spiritually. They're not spiritually minded. They're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. They're controlled by everything else, the cares of this world, the burdens, the troubles. Now listen, yourself understand the effects. You don't understand the effects of your decisions, your discretion. You don't think clear. You don't talk clear. Now I know I was a drunk. I know what I'm talking about here. Amen. You don't understand it affects your decisions. You can't make a right decision when you're drunk. Well, you can't make a right decision if you're spiritually drunk and spiritually intoxicated by the cares of this world, by troubles, trials. I hope this makes some sense. You can come, amen. You come to be a target of Satan. Look what it goes on to say here. Look at verse 8 again. Be sober, be vigilant. You can't be vigilant if you're not sober. Listen now. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He looks for people who's intoxicated with the cares of the world and troubles and trials. Their mind's full of it. They're spiritually drunk. They can't hear the word right. They can't make right decisions. They don't comprehend. Anybody ever been drunk? Don't raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Listen, folks, we're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. He walketh about. He walketh about seeking who he may devour. What's he after? He's after your faith. Look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in what? The faith, knowing that the same affections are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He's after your faith, amen. When you're spiritually intoxicated, you're not thinking right, you're not thinking spiritually, your faith has been affected, amen. You know what you are, a target for Satan. A lot of people have troubles and trials. Instead of coming to church, you know what they do? They leave church. They don't come to church. They're not thinking right. They're not thinking clearly. Pastor, how come you haven't been in church for a while? Oh, you don't know the problems I'm going through. Spiritually, am I wrong or right? I've been in this thing 30 years. Spiritually intoxicated, can't make right decisions. No discernment. Sermon. It's very important. Listen, it's so important to being sober-minded. It means to have a clear mind, spiritually minded. It's so important as a qualification for a pastor. I don't have time to go through this, but I'll give them to you, write them down. 1 Timothy 3, 2 and 3. Titus, it demands that a pastor be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. He can't have, listen, he could have all the troubles in the world, man, when you're a pastor, believe me. But he can't let his mind be infiltrated with all that spiritual intoxication. He won't be able to run this church right. You understand what I'm saying? And brother, it comes. It comes. Pastor tried to talk him out of every Thursday night he counseled. And he get people spiritually drunken coming in that office and spilling out all the garbage. I can't even tell you some of the stuff that he said. It started infiltrating his mind where he can't think right, can't make discernments, good judgments. It gets to you. A wife, a pastor wife, in 1 Timothy 3:11. That's a qualification for her to be sober. It means to be spiritually minded. Be sober. There's a lot of difference between somebody sober and somebody's drunken. Amen? You can't deal with somebody's drunken, but you can with somebody sober. It's got a clear mind, make right decisions. Old men, Titus 2:2. Same thing. Young men, exhort them to be sober-minded. Young men. I mean, these young preachers, got a lot of young preachers. You know, the Bible says the strength of a young, the glory of a young man is his strength. He's got a lot of strength. There's a lot of young men up here, amen. The glory of the old man is his what? Gray hair, amen. But young men, amen. Exhort to be sober-minded. Young women, Titus 2:4, to be sober-minded. The whole church is to be sober-minded. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8, I'm trying to hurry. The verses, amen. God have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. And if we don't have a sound mind, if we're going to be spiritually intoxicated, we're not going to have strong faith. We're not going to have strong faith to be able to do what God's asked you to do. You're spiritually intoxicated because the Bible says cast all your cares upon him, and you won't do that. You want to carry the cares. You want to carry the cares. But the Bible says do what with them? Cast them to him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. We need to trust the word of God. We need to put our faith in the word of God. Amen. Satan's out to destroy you. He's out to destroy the leadership here. And the way he's going to do it is through the mind. Because the mind controls the whole man, the spiritual mind in man. You know, out in front of the doors, we all have a DUI check Sunday morning. Well, I thought, out of my crowd, I got to laugh. Checking who's intoxicated spiritually. They're dangerous. Those people there cause troubles in the church. They're not spiritually minded. They're not living by faith. I got to quit. Good night. I know I got to quit. I'm supposed to go to bed 8 o'clock every night. Is that right? Bible Baptist first. That's a joke. I go to bed at 8 o'clock. Hey, I love this church. I love the gray hair in this church. There's a lot of seniors in this church, man. I praise God for the seniors. Amen. I do. They've been through these battles. They've had warfare. Amen. They've dealt with it all. A lot of wisdom sitting in these pews. A lot of strength sitting in these pews. What we need, though, is a lot of faith sitting in these pews. I hope I help somebody tonight. Have a great night. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me.
Let's stand to our feet. And the Lord spoken to your heart here tonight.